tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we've got another nice addition for you here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. You know, most mornings in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, we're just here kind of getting the morning rolling, BSing about the random things in the news or sometimes the biggest things in the news. You just never know because this is just kind of the first hour just getting up and rolling. Usually I'm grabbing a big old stack of stuff off the printer, and then you never know what we're going to talk about, and then the rodeo starts. But every now and then, we'll have some great guests join us here live in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Like, we'll oftentimes get Senator Steve Daines joining us from Washington, D.C., right before he heads into Montana Coffee this morning here on this Freedom Friday. Great to be joined by Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse. Commissioner, I think we've got you on the phone lines here. Good to have you this morning. Okay, and I am not hearing him here, so let me maybe, Caden, just have him call the studio line instead. I don't know why I'm not hearing him on my system here. So, yeah, just have the commissioner. But here's what we're going to talk about. We've mentioned this this story a few times. You know, the state of Montana is looking to build basically I'll get the news stories right in front of me here. But when you think about it, what is one of the biggest concerns that folks have had in Billings? You've got to, you know, crime, public safety, right? That's a big topic in this mayoral race that's taking place right now. But what feeds into that? What draws into that? One of the biggest complaints I've heard from folks in the Billings area and in Yellowstone County over the years is that Billings has basically been the dumping grounds for the state's offenders. And okay, do we need pre-release programs? Do we need treatment programs? Yes. Does Billings have several of these great programs? Yes. But does Billings have too many of these types of programs? Does Billings need another one there? And the concern is that when you have these programs in your community, too many of them, by the way, that then what ends up happening is when you know, these offenders get released back out onto the streets, that oftentimes they'll just stay in the Billings area instead of going back to whatever community they came from when they committed the offense in the first place. And so the concern from folks in Billings is that basically then you have, you know, that Billings basically becomes the dumping grounds for these state's offenders, and then you get you know, more of a criminal element because so often many of these former prisoners will then will reoffend and commit another offense once again. Well, right now there's a big debate over where to put this new basically state mental health facility that would treat you know, inmates with mental health issues. And I know Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse has been raising some concerns on that very front. It sounded like the state was going to place it in Billings, and then they kind of pulled back after pushback from local officials and local citizens. But then now we're hearing rumors that no, maybe it is going to be set up and placed in Billings. So anyway, we're going to get the latest from Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse. Yeah, like I say, Caden, just have him give a call on our studio line instead here this morning if you can, 406-294-0970. All right, back right after this. Stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures in the mid-60s and Bozeman around 70 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies. Overnight lows will stay back in the lower to middle 40s. And then the outlook for Saturday does call for a mix of clouds and sunshine with high temperatures in the mid and upper 60s. Turning cloudy Saturday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Securing America.
President Trump held a roundtable discussion Thursday to give an update on the fight against Western Hemisphere-based drug cartels.
In a matter of weeks, the task force has made the largest number of arrests of cartel leaders, operatives, and gang members in American history, more than 3,000 and counting.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said the aim is
to destroy these terrorists that have been killing Americans for years and getting rich off of it.
While Attorney General Pam Bondi said the efforts are paying off.
91 tons of drugs have been seized as a result of this task force.
She says that would fill 4 18-wheelers. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth says the U.S. military will not relent.
We will treat you like we have treated Al-Qaeda. We will find you. We will map your networks. We will hunt you down, and we will kill you.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I've got one of the stories in front of me right here. Let's see. This was a KTVQ story from yesterday, actually. State senators rank Billings number one for mental hospital. Let's see. The Billings City Council still has interest in the state mental hospital, but is not ready to commit and submit an application. That is one of the lines here. But anyway, we've got Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse with us here, thankfully, in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, so we can dedicate a little bit more time to this topic. Commissioner Morse, first off, great to have you on the show this morning. And I know it's a fast-moving hour, but it's great to be able to spend a little bit more time on this topic. So where do things stand right now with this proposed state mental health hospital?
So right now, they're in the selection phase. They're looking at sites in eastern Montana, and they don't define what eastern Montana is, whether that's from the Rocky Mountain front east, whether it's from Big Timber east, whether it's from Billings east. But they're looking for a site to put a mental health prison, and everybody wants to call it a facility, and it's really a prison because that's where they put people who are unfit to proceed to trial, who are guilty by mental incapacitation. You know, it's a lockdown facility. So, you know, I want to make that clear. It's just like a jail or a prison, but it deals with people who are mentally defective. And we had a letter from Senator Est and Senator McGillivray on October 19th. And it looks like they have pre-selected Billings / Yellowstone County for where they want to put this. I don't believe they're seriously looking at any other site in eastern Montana. I know that Hardin has expressed interest. Stillwater has expressed interest. And I think Q2 mischaracterizes that. Billings, in fact, is not interested in the mental health prison at this time because there's too many unanswered questions. The state has provided no information as to exactly what this facility is going to be, how many beds. It's varied anywhere from 32 to 70. What type of patients are going to hold there exactly, what their plan is for treatment, how they're going to secure it, a plan for release, because obviously we don't have institutions and mental health institutions in this country anymore. You know, you at some point you're deemed stabilized or you come back into society. And generally, when they come back into society, they'd end up in Yellowstone County no matter where they came from. And so there's just this host of questions that's been unanswered.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, first off, I think a lot of folks, I know when this topic has come up in the past, our listeners have certainly appreciated your comments. I think even City Council Member Jennifer Owen, who's running for mayor, I think she has expressed concern about this. But the concern that you've expressed is right on, that basically, bottom line is it seems like Billings has become a dumping grounds for the state's offenders. And if there's other communities that want opportunities like this, that see this as an economic development opportunity in particular, well, it seems like why not go to the communities that want an option like this, that want this opportunity?
Well, just to give you a rundown, Yellowstone County, we currently have the Montana Women's Prison. We have the largest number of pre-release centers for criminal inmates. We have the largest number of criminal probationers. We have the largest number of sober living facilities in the state. And we have several other state programs and ones that include sex offender treatment. I mean, you know, Yellowstone County is the dumping ground for the states. And I mean, Senator Esp and Senator McGillivray don't want to address that. Additionally, they say, well, the state will be a great partner. Well, okay, why don't you pay the bill you owe us for holding your state inmates? It costs us $120 a day, and they pay us $85 a day. And when you start laying out facts like that, you know, they run out of the room because they can't answer. They're not a good partner.
I thought it was really important that you point out that basically this is a mental prison. This is not a mental health clinic. This is, you know, because under former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock, I mean, mental health clinics and mental health programs in Montana were just decimated, right? So everybody understands the needs for mental health clinics across the state, mental health support, right? But this is something different. This is basically a component of the state prison. I wonder, though, is any other community as qualified as Billings is, though, to be able to support a facility like this, given all of the mental, or given all of the medical facility and infrastructure that Billings has in particular?
Well, but you have to remember that Billings Clinic, they run a psych center. That's a civil facility. And if you talk, I've talked to the director there personally. He has 15 vacancies he can't fill because he can't find qualified people. And when I say qualified people, you know, they're generally referred to as psychiatric RNs, and they're rare as hen's teeth. I mean, there's just not a bunch of them out there. And for the state to say we have the workforce here is a fallacy. And I've told them that to their face. You know, let's stop lying about it. You don't have any medical programs in the state that turn out workforce that could even staff this facility. You can't staff the facility over in Warm Springs. One of the requirements that they want is they want this facility to be scalable, i.e. for expansion in the future. And as I sit here and talk to you now, that's code speak for as soon as they get a facility up and running in Yellowstone County, they will close Warm Springs and put all those patients in Yellowstone County.
Interesting. All right, hold that thought. Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse, we're going to get to the Farm and Ranch Report and more, and then we'll come back to him after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Government shutdowns can be pretty boring until a shutdown impacts you. There's a missed paycheck, flight delays. You can't visit the Smithsonian. You get the idea. But until you reach that tipping point, most Americans are ho-hum about government shutdowns. They don't pay much mind to them. However, Democrats engineered a scheme in advance of this fall's government shutdown. They would transmogrify the shutdown into something which Americans care about, health care. Democrats knew for months that many people who received their health care coverage via Obamacare exchanges would absorb a market price spike with their premiums early next year. So say what you will about the tactics, but it was a shrewd strategy by Democrats to seize on an issue important to their base. But Republicans believe the need to boost Obamacare reveals flaws in the law. Some Republicans reject extending Obamacare subsidies, and some want to renew them. Obamacare and the shutdown are now inextricably linked. And if dealing with that wasn't complicated enough, the infusion of Obamacare into the debate makes the legislative morass seemingly intractable. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, did you guys hear that guy on Wednesday? He dislikes Donald Trump so bad that he is going to leave the country. And then people started offering gas money. But hey, I loved it, though. I love it. Bring on the bots. Bring on the plants. The guy obviously didn't listen to the show, but he heard Ryan Zinke he was going to be on. So he called in to complain about Trump. Hey, that's all right. Call in again. Montana Talks is a show where everybody gets to talk, especially on Freedom Friday. Friday, phone lines are open for you. Statewide, 9 to 10.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
A message from FireSafe Montana. With the large number of homes being built in the wild land-urban interface, it is the responsibility of the homeowner to use ignition-resistant materials. Many buildings in a wildfire are burned from the roof down. Consider using a metal or asphalt roofing material. The siding of a home is subject to extremely high heat during a fire. Look into the use of stone, stucco, or cement board. Contact FireSafe Montana for more information.
This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Smokey the Bear.
And you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nemitz. Well, on the heels of this week's announcement by President Trump to import beef out of Argentina, and also his claim of saving the American rancher, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins and others released a new plan to fortify the American beef industry by strengthening ranchers, rebuilding capacity, and lowering cost for consumers. With more, here's our network's Rachel Gable.
Tri-State Livestock News editor and North Dakota rancher Kerry Stodheim sat down with Utah rancher and federal lands attorney Hayden Ballard in the hours after he met again with Rollins and high-ranking cabinet members, Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy, and Administrator of the Small Business Administration Kelly Loeffler, and helped inform Rollins' white paper's plan to fortify the beef industry.
The general message from us was we need to restore confidence in our domestic producers, right? And that's, we need to restore confidence in the markets, but we also need to restore confidence on for our federal land grazers that they do have a future raising cattle on these allotments. To do that, we need, well, there's several things we need, but to do that, importing more beef is not the answer, right? We already import far more than we should, in my humble opinion, and so just increasing imports isn't going to solve any problems.
The priorities that stemmed from conversations with ranchers include endangered species reforms, enhanced disaster relief, increased grazing access, increased access to capital, affordable risk management tools, increased marketing options and transparency, and boosting domestic and international demand to help end the boom-bust cycle that has defined past markets. For the Fence Post Magazine and Western Ag Network, I'm Rachel Gable.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. Now, for more information about the Trump administration's newly released plan to strengthen America's beef industry, you can visit us online at westerneggnetwork.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Torrington Livestock Markets in Torrington, Wyoming, will host a bread cow special this Monday, October 27th, expecting 1,000 head of stock cows and bred heifers. Featured consignments include XH Land and Livestock's dispersion of 170 bred cows calving April 13th for 60 days, and 187 bred heifers from Bozen Land and Livestock calving February 10th for 90 days. As always, online bidding at cattleusa.com. For complete listings, visit torringtonlivestock.com.
Join Montana Farmers Union for the 110th Annual State Convention, October 31st through November 1st at the Yogo Inn in Lewistown. This year, you can also attend a pre-convention farm tour October 30th, a free kids camp during convention, and a brand new Succession Planning Institute November 2nd. Come connect with fellow producers, learn from ag leaders, and help shape the future of Montana agriculture. Visit MontanaFarmersUnion.com to learn more.
Well, in the Pacific Rim, a Japanese biscuit is a confectionery delight more related to a crisp U.S. cookie than a buttery base for Southern-style gravy. And more than 90% of them are made with U.S. Western white wheat, a blend of U.S. soft white and white club wheat. To better understand how U.S. farmers safely grow the high-quality wheat that they need, delegates from the Japan Biscuit Association recently visited the PNW, and the trade delegation was organized by the U.S. Wheat Associates with support from the Washington Grain Commission and the Idaho and Oregon Wheat Commissions. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, by the way, I had to go get some coffee so I could press the buttons a little bit better here this morning on my equipment. Got some more coffee now, so we should be ready to rock and roll. Thankfully, we got Commissioner Mark Morris, Yellowstone County Commissioner. He is full throttle for us here this morning. But I don't know if Russell mentioned it in that report. If not, I wonder if Lane might have it next hour. Did you guys hear about this incredible ranch donation up on the High Line, up near Malta? Phillips County, I believe, is where it was at. Anyway, I've got that news. We'll get to it later on in the 7 o'clock hour of this show. But Yellowstone County Commissioner, again, great to have you on the show here this morning. I want to get into this gap analysis that you conducted, that Yellowstone County put together to say, hey, here's the gaps if the state decides to place this state mental prison, essentially, in Billings. Here's the shortfalls. Here's the gaps that we've identified. But big picture, go back to, I guess, give our listeners a sense of, okay, how does the state currently handle prison inmates or detainees that have significant mental health concerns, right? So, because you mentioned something before the break that I thought was interesting, that you believe that if they place this state mental a prison in Billings or in Yellowstone County, that eventually they might shut down Warm Springs altogether. And I think that's pretty interesting because we've got listeners in the Butte Anaconda Deer Lodge area right now.
Well, so, that's one of the things they want in their solicitation. They want a local government authority. They'd like us to give them the land, and they'd like it to have infrastructure. And, so they talk about, initially, it's got to be somewhere between 32 and 70 beds. But then as you get into it, they talk about it's going to be modular in design and it's got to be scalable for future expansion. And as I sit here and talk to your listeners now, I think that I believe that that is code speak for them saying that when they get a new facility on the eastern side of the state, wherever it is, they will close down Warm Springs, Galen, and they will shift that population to the east side of the state.
See, and I find that interesting because I'm kind of thinking, too, what's the big picture? What's the master plan here for the state overall? Because, we've got so much ground that needs to be rebuilt, really we had decades of, lack of investment in our state corrections, and I think the governor and the legislature is working to rebuild that right now. Mental health got gutted. We have underinvested in prisons, frankly, and so that's the problem facing and jail space in general all across the state. So that's the challenge here. But it's interesting. So like the current Montana Women's Prison, as you pointed out, is in Billings, but they're looking at maybe moving that to another location. So I wonder if part of the master plan here is, okay, pull the women's prison somewhere else, but maybe you put the mental prison facility in a place like Billings. Do you have a sense of what the master plan is here, or are they just looking for anything they can get and wherever they can get it, basically?
I think you hit the nail on the head. They're looking for whatever they can get, wherever they can get it. I don't know that there is a master plan, at least those of us who have looked at this from the Yellowstone County side. We can't divine what the master plan is. And I mean, certainly that's not my business. It's not my wheelhouse. But I'm just saying Billings is tired, or Yellowstone County is tired of being the dumping ground for all the state's problems. And, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and it's interesting because when it comes to the women's prison, Butte doesn't want it because Butte's saying, look, we've got all these other things going on here. And Butte, part of the reason why the chief executive there told me that they don't want the women's prison is because they're worried that it would pull from the population that is currently working in Warm Springs or in Deer Lodge, for example. So they were afraid that if they put the women's prison in Butte, that it might, the people that currently commute to Deer Lodge for work at the prison there might no longer commute. It might hurt Deer Lodge essentially by doing that. But that's why we said at the time in that debate as well, it sounds like Hardin wants it. Sounds like Boulder wants it. And similar deal here with this mental health prison that, hey, sounds like Hardin wants it. Sounds like Boulder wants it, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you know, and they try to tout it as economic development. And as you well know, you know, Yellowstone County has a lot of stuff going on for economic development. And so if this is good for Billings, it is great for any other area that maybe doesn't have the opportunity that Yellowstone County has for economic development. You know, I point that out to them, and they refuse to talk about it. Director Brereton from Department of Public Health and Human Services, he won't even come to Yellowstone County, to Billings, and have a frank discussion with the local government leaders here to discuss it. And you have Senator Yakovitch, well, you know, I heard that this is what they want to do. Well, okay, who'd you hear it from? Well, I didn't actually hear it from Director Brereton, but I got that this is like third-hand or fourth-hand information. I mean, nobody even wants to come here and address with us. Sit down, look us in the eye, and say, this is what we want to do.
And isn't the other major concern where the facility would potentially be located in Billings as well?
So that's correct. So what started this out is back probably just before Labor Day. The state shows up. They hastily call a parking lot meeting up at MSUB and said that, well, we're going to look at these five sites. And I think three of them were DNRC land, and they were all outside the city limits of Billings. I mean, there was one in Laurel, there was one out in Lockwood, and they didn't have water or sewer to them. And they looked at us and they said, well, how are you going to supply water and sewer to them? I mean, the short answer is we told them that we're not going to supply water or sewer to them. You know, that's not our issue. I mean, if you build somewhere where there's not water or sewer, that's not my problem. It is not going to, I'm not going to put the cost of that on Yellowstone County taxpayers.
Very interesting. Let's see. We got to take another break here in just a second. And then Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse is going to stick with us here for another segment as well, so we can do a little bit more of a deep dive on this very topic. I want to look at this gap analysis that Yellowstone County put together in communication with the state, as I understand it, a forensic behavioral health facility gap analysis. We'll get to that coming up right after the break here. Plus, and in the meantime, we got a message from, speaking of Hardin, we got a message from one of our listeners, Lightbrows in Hardin. He said this, and Bighorn County wants the facility. The big advantage for Hardin is space available and proximity to Billings. Yeah, I mean, that's another selling point for Hardin is, okay, all of the selling points for Billings, Hardin has those selling points as well, just 45 minutes away, essentially. All right, back right after this. Stand by.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. So we asked kids, what do you want your parents to hear?
I feel sometimes that I'm not listened to. I would just want you to listen to me more often and evaluate situations with me and lead me towards success.
We're not adults, so just be there and, like, listen. I just want someone to yap to. And I just feel like I would be fine, like, if someone just hears me talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
You're doing a really good job. And I don't think I tell you that enough. And I know sometimes we get into it and it's just hard on both of us, but you'll try to understand me more, and I'll try to do the same.
Listening is a form of love. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, I mentioned that we got that message from Lightbrows in Hardin that came in on the Montana Talks app. Obviously, you can message us there, but I should have also said, hey, if you want to call in, if you've got a quick question or comment and you want to jump in on this conversation here with Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse, hey, jump in on the conversation. Give us a call because, that's what this show is all about. On that front, let's start with one of your phone calls. We've got Jake in Billings here. Jake, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Aaron. I'm with a behavioral health organization here in Billings, and you know we all got together as a group of my peers in town and created what you were talking about earlier, that gap analysis. That really is I guess first of all, I'll say thank goodness that we're finally talking about improving some of the behavioral health in the state of Montana. And I think all of my peers agree. I don't want to speak for everybody, but after talking for a while, I think I can say that we all agree we need a facility like this somewhere in the state, another one to complement what Warm Springs is doing. And putting it in the eastern part of the state actually makes sense. We tried to take what the legislators were doing, the intention of what they're doing, which is improve mental health and behavioral health and access to that across the state. We tried to take what they were doing and then provide a little bit more insight. I think a facility is needed, but there's a lot of other things that are needed as well. And that's what that gap analysis does. It really, it takes the boots on the ground, asks us what it is that's needed and how we can provide better services across the state. And then we gave that to the legislators. Like I said, is this facility needed? I think now that it's already passed legislation, and it's statutorily required. I think we can do this. Where it goes, how the process is done, what kind of facility it is. I mean, there's definitely lots of questions that need to be answered. But along with, we all know that even if we got started today breaking ground, it's going to be a couple of years before that facility is open. In the meantime, while we're building that facility, what else can we do? And I think that's what that gap analysis does, provides a little insight and guidance for our legislators.
Well, what a great summary, because that's exactly the topic we wanted to get into next. Jake, thanks for calling. Great to hear from you. So, Commissioner Morse, first off, any reactions to what Jake shared there? And then just give us kind of what stands out with this Yellowstone County Forensic Behavioral Health Facility gap analysis. What are the high points on that one?
So Jake is spot on with his comments about that. And so what people may not know is about 20 years ago, Yellowstone County, the voters enacted a levy on themselves. It's called the Public Safety Mental Health Levy. And it helps providers like Jake and others to provide mental health in the community. And, you know, they can only pay, we only have so much money to spread around. They can only pay X number of dollars. If the state comes here, the state's pay scale is generally higher than the county's. You will find that all those people who are paying X dollars, the state is going to pay, you know, X plus $5 or $7 more. It will just crush those small community mental health partners. So this workforce deal, it is a big deal. The workforce gap is just tremendous. And secondly, you know, at some point you have to say the person is stabilized and you have to release them. So are you just going to open the front door and push them out on the street and close the door behind you? You have to have ongoing medication. You have to have follow-up care. You have to have providers in the community who can do that. And if you crush our community health net, our mental health partners, and the state says that's one of the reasons they want to come here, because we have mental health partners. Well, you know what? My answer to that is Yellowstone County built that network, that safety network for our, we taxed ourselves and built it for our own taxpayers. It's not for use of the state and the other 55 counties in the state. Right now, when people leave Warm Springs or Galen, they hand them a little baggie, literally a sandwich bag, with 2 to 5 days worth of medication. They put them on the van. They send them to Billings. They drop them off at MRM. And MRM gets paid something called 189 funds to provide this aftercare. And
This is big. If I'm hearing you right here, so because somebody else had shared this with me, but it sounds like you're confirming this here. So you're telling me that say an inmate gets released from Warm Springs, and you know the state mental arm of the prison, why would they ship them to Billings and then release them on the streets and then send them right to the homeless shelter in Billings? First off, they're doing that. You can confirm that. And second off, why would they do that instead of sending, you know, if somebody's being released from a prison or a state institution and they're being released back into the community, why wouldn't they be released back into the community from which they came?
So that's one of the questions we brought up to Senator Yakovitch and Senator Esp and Senator McGillivray. And I think the reason they're sending them to MRM is because they can say, well, listen, we're paying MRM the 189 funds to reintegrate them to society. Well, that's great, but they didn't come from Yellowstone County Society. They came from wherever they came from. And I think it's just a way for the state to wash their hands of their responsibility.
So if you're somebody, because this has been me, I've been driving, you know, when I've left our Montana Talk studios before and drive, you know, because I get there dark 30 in the morning, so I'll leave, you know, midday or whatever, and I'm driving, and you see crazy people often just walking down the street, yelling into thin air, shouting at a street corner, and it's like, where did these people come from, right? And they're just walking the streets. I guess that would maybe explain it.
Well, that's right, because MRM is not a secure facility. It's not a detention facility. So they drop these people off there, and whether MRM drives them around town and disperses them or whether they walk on their own, you know, they're not taking their medication, and that's exactly what you see. And we have it now. You've seen it yourself. Everybody that lives in Yellowstone County has seen it themselves. And the state's answer to that is, we're going to send you more mental health inmates or patients or releasees, and it's just going to exacerbate that condition.
Interesting.
I mean, we want more of that.
Yeah, hold that thought. We're getting pretty short on time now because we've got the legislative update from the Family Foundation coming up here in just a few minutes. But let's sneak in another quick phone call. We've got Tom in Billings. Tom, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
Well, I have a quick comment. The mental health facility that is being proposed to put up here in the Heights, next to a high school, next to a junior high school, all that's going to end up doing is they're going to dump Warm Springs residents into Billings because Billings seems to be the dumping ground. And I'll be having a phone call today with Senator McGillivray and Senator Yakovitch. This is not going to happen.
Well, and of course, they're welcome to join us here on Montana Talks as well in a similar regard. Tom, thanks for the call. Yeah, that kind of sums up the concern I've been hearing from folks. Tom did a good job of summarizing that concern about the placement of this facility as well. Commissioner Morris, your thoughts?
Well, and that's right. I mean, I acknowledge that we need it as a state. It has to go somewhere, but I'm telling you, I think it's short-sighted to put it, as Tom just indicated, in a residential neighborhood next to schools, next to where there's children. It's just wrong on so many levels.
What can Montanans do about it, especially folks that might be listening to KBUL in Billings right now, or frankly, if you're listening to KXTL and you're in the Warm Springs area, you're in Anaconda, you're in Butte, you're in Deer Lodge, and you're worried that it might impact those operations. What do you suggest? What, you know, who do folks call? I guess.
You know, I guess you can call your local legislators. You can talk to your local county commissioners because they're looking for the term the state uses is the local governing authority. And so that's really you're talking about county commissioners or city council people. You know, you need to make your voice heard. You have to tell people that you either want it or you don't want it. So your elected officials can go and talk intelligently to legislators and DPHHS.
All right. Well, Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morris, great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us here in the 6 o'clock hour. That freed up some time so we could hit this topic in a little bit more depth, because I know if we just had you on for a short segment, man, there we'd get so many follow-up questions. We'd have people wanting to call in and chat with you. So we appreciate all of your extra time here in the early morning hours of the show. Great to have you on. Thanks for being with us. Okay, coming up after the next break, we've got the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation. You guys probably heard our friend Tim in Savage talk about last Friday's Montana Family Foundation banquet that he attended. He gave a great summary, a great report following that. We'll see if that's what Jeff talks about in the legislative update. I haven't gotten to hear it yet myself either, so I'm looking forward to hearing it here right after this. And then we'll have open phones time in the 7 o'clock hour.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I've always believed that Trump could be one of the best presidents ever, and it was based on my own vetting of him personally with late-night conversations long before he ever came down that escalator at Trump Tower. And I remember being as forceful as saying, if you don't convince me you're a conservative and you're going to govern conservatively, I'm not going to vote for you or support you. That's how we went, and we talked late into the night. And, you know, at that point, we became friends, and I began to realize a quality that he had that no other politician had, and that was an ability to just see everything differently and think differently. And that's now playing out in real time pretty much on a daily basis.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, I've been buying precious metals. Somebody gave me great advice. I'm so grateful every day that I did. And I've been doing it for decades. Every paycheck I get, no matter what, I put aside a portion of money to diversify into precious metals. Now, especially during uncertain times. Remember the 2008 financial crisis? Who do I choose to make my gold and silver purchases with? What company do I now use? Who do I trust? Well, I've been partnering with a great company for 3 years. I am a customer. The company's called Gold Co. Gold Co. will send you right now a free 2025 gold and silver kit to learn more about diversifying with precious metals. Now, this kit from Gold Co. has been a huge help to me. I think you'll learn a valuable lesson. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. You're not going to want to miss out. All you have to do is call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-GOLD, or go to the website HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures in the mid-60s and Bozeman around 70 in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies. Overnight lows will stay back in the lower to middle 40s. And then the outlook for Saturday does call for a mix of clouds and sunshine with high temperatures in the mid and upper 60s. Turning cloudy Saturday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Now, this is pretty funny. Our producer, Caden, after the show wrapped up, he said, hey, what should I use for a podcast title for the 6 o'clock hour of this show? I was working on some other things that hour. I said, bring on the bots and the Democrat plant callers. Yeah, we had some fun in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Then again, we always do. Hey, if you're not up and rolling at 6 o'clock in the morning, download the Montana Talks app. That's when we have some of our most fun. And you can get the podcast later in the day. Don't worry about it.
Hi, I'm attorney.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
In the legal world of lawyers and judges, plaintiffs, defendants, and litigation, rarely does a case with enormous ramifications fly under the radar screen, unnoticed by the vast majority of Americans. But such is a case set to be heard December 8th before the United States Supreme Court. It began months ago when President Trump fired Federal Trade Commissioner Rebecca Kelly Slaughter, a Biden appointee, over policy disagreements. Slaughter filed suit claiming her firing violated a 90-year-old U.S. Supreme Court decision called Humphrey's executor. The lower courts agreed, but in dramatic fashion, the U.S. Supreme Court intervened. They allowed Slaughter's firing to remain in effect while her case proceeded on appeal. Then, to the dismay of unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats throughout the federal government, they set December 8th as a date to revisit the Humphrey's executor decision itself, indicating a willingness by the conservative majority on the court to overturn a bad decision made 90 years ago in 1935. The decision in Humphrey basically set up what many refer to as the fourth branch of government. Those political appointees basically embedded in agencies and commissions that can only be fired in extreme cases of malfeasance. The administrative policies they enact have the rule of law, yet they remain insulated, unaccountable, and untouchable. They routinely undermine the policies of elected officials, yet because of Humphrey's executor, remain outside the jurisdiction of everyone, including the president himself, who, according to the Constitution, is supposed to have complete control over all executive agencies. The administrative state literally acts as an autonomous fourth branch of government, and reversing Humphrey's executor would allow the administrative state to finally be dismantled. Those fighting against the reversal of Humphrey's argue that it insulates and protects the independence of these bureaucrats, allowing them to do their jobs regardless of the shifting politics of the day. Which begs the question, it insulates and protects them from whom? And the answer is the voters. We the people, in a very real sense, chart the policy course of the nation when we elect our president. If you think about it, he's the most accountable to the nation as a whole because the office of the president is the only office voted on by every single voter in the nation. He wields enormous power, but that power is short-lived, once again by design. It only lasts for 4 years or 8 years if the voters so choose. Ideally, under our Constitution, the will of the people, from an executive branch perspective, flows from the people, through the president, and down to the executive branch agencies. Humphrey's executor allowed an army of unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats, many with a political agenda, to occupy key positions in government. They remain in those positions for years, carrying out the policy goals of previous administrations, and in many cases, actively undermining the policy directives of the current administration. And because they're so protected by Humphrey's executor, they do so without any fear of being fired or reassigned. It really is a fourth branch of government. Thankfully, it appears this 90-year-old usurpation of executive branch authority may soon come to an end. The simple fact that the court chose to revisit Humphrey, apart from Rebecca Slaughter's case, is in itself reason to be guardedly optimistic. It may be flying under the radar, but the ramifications are enormous, and we'll keep you posted as this case moves forward. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks to Jeff Laszloffy for another great update there. And if you missed it, I know Tim and Savage had called in. What was that, yesterday, the day before? I don't know. The time has just been flying by. What a wild week it's been. Then again, it's always a wild week, given everything in the news right now. The Schumer shutdown, the government shutdown, another Montana Democrat wants you to pay. Refusing to call on his fellow Democrats to end the Schumer shutdown of government, but he wants Montana to have to pay for it. You got to hear what a Billings Democrat is saying now. We'll get to that coming up in the next hour. Stand by.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.